We're going to read from verse 97 of Psalm 119. So if you have your Bible there, would you turn please to Psalm 119, and we're going to read from verse 97. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry, there are the pew Bibles. And we give the Lord thanks that we have these beautiful Bibles. So do please make use of them. And you turn in the Bible to Psalm 119. Perhaps just before we read the Word of God, can I just bring to your attention a little booklet that was distributed at the 12th demonstrations last Tuesday. I don't know, maybe you got the booklet already. It's entitled More Than a Book. And it was given out at all of the demonstrations, all the parades last Tuesday. And it highlights the 400th anniversary of the Authorized Version. And it's a very, very good little leaflet, well put together, and presents the Word of God as being more than a book. And we know that that's true. The Bible is not just a book. It's not like any other book. It is more than a book. And so we'd encourage you to take one of these leaflets afterward if you haven't got it already. And maybe you could even pass them out to other people. But we do thank God for this booklet. And we thank God for the stand that the Orange Order take for the gospel of Christ and for the Authorized Version. So we commend that booklet to you. Psalm 119 and verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Well, let's look to the Lord, please, in prayer as we come to his word. Our Father, we thank you today for your precious word. We thank you today, Lord, that it is more than a book. We thank you, Lord, that it is the living word of the living God. And we rejoice today that we have it in our possession. And we pray, Lord, for the help of the Holy Spirit as we consider this passage that we have read. O Lord, come and bless us, we pray. We thank you, Father, today for all who are in thy house. And we ask that you will abundantly bless them through the Holy Scriptures. Lord, today we remember those who are not able to be here, and we pray that you will bless them. We think of those on holiday. Lord, we think of those who are ill. We think of those, Lord, who are not able to be here for some other reason. And we just ask, Lord, that you will bless them. We pray, Lord, that you will be with them. And Lord, we pray that soon they will be back among us again and back in this house to worship thee, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The atheist Voltaire promised that 100 years after his death, the Bible would be destroyed. Now, Voltaire lived in the 18th century. He was a Frenchman, and this was the prediction that he made. He said that 100 years after his death, the Bible would be extinct, as it were. No one would want the Bible. He said the only place that it will be found is in a museum or in second-hand bookshops. But it's very interesting to notice what actually did happen. because 50 years after Voltaire died, the Geneva Bible Society bought the house that he lived in and started to publish Bibles. Do you know that that house in Paris became the headquarters of the Foreign Bible Society? Was the Bible destroyed? Was it only to be found in a museum or a second-hand bookshop? Not at all. Voltaire, the atheist, was dead. Well, people have forgotten about him. The Bible lived on. You see, friends, the Bible is more than a book, just like this little leaflet says. It is more than a book. It is wonderful. It is divine. And you see, as we approach Psalm 119, we find that David realized that the Bible is more than a book. And we read in Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104, we read of the great love that David had for the Bible. David loved this book more than anything else that he possessed. Now, as we mentioned on previous Sunday mornings, David did not have the whole Bible. In all probability, he just had the first five books of the Bible, what the Jews today call the Torah or the Law. But even though he only had a small portion of the Word of God, yet he had a great love for that portion. It's strange, you know, that the less of the Bible you have, the more you tend to love it. I've heard of Christians in other countries, places like China, North Korea, other places where the Bible is not freely available and freely distributed. I've heard of Christians who have just one page of the Bible, but they cherish it and they love it and they prize it more than gold. And you see, what happens is that one Christian keeps that page for a few days, but then he or she must pass it on to another Christian who doesn't have the Bible. And they get it for a few days and they love it and they devour it, as it were, and then they pass it on as well. The people who don't have much of the Word of God, they love it. But what about people in Ulster? We have it all. All 66 books, Genesis to Revelation. We have every part of God's Word. We have more than just one page. Do we love it? Well, the tragedy is that there are many, many people in Ulster today who do not love the Bible. In fact, they have no time for the Bible. They have absolutely no interest in the Bible. I find that one of the greatest tragedies in life. Of course, we need to remember that when we have the entire Bible, then God will hold us accountable. Oh yes, it is a great privilege to have this book, but I tell you, with great privilege comes great responsibility. David loved the Word of God. We're told about that love in verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. David doesn't just say, I love thy law. Now notice it, he really emphasizes it. He really drives it home. Oh, how love I thy law. He uses the word oh. Someone once said the problem with the church in Ulster today is that we have lost the oh. We've lost the passion. We've lost the hunger for the Word of God. We've lost our oh. But David somehow found it difficult to describe how much he loved the Bible, and he just says, oh. Oh, how love I thy law. He was almost stuck for words. There was a hunger. There was a deep, insatiable appetite within his soul for the Bible, for the Word of the living God. And then he says not only, oh, but he says, how? How? You know, that's one of the words that stands out in this verse, the little word how. Oh, how love I thy law. Lord, by your grace, you have implanted within me an indescribable longing for Holy Scripture. By your grace and your mercy, you have created within me a hunger and a thirst for your word. And Lord, I find it hard to describe. It's like a desire, it's like a longing that dwells deep within me that only thy word can satisfy. Only the God-breathed words of Holy Scripture can satisfy it. Oh, how love I thy law. Now, David could have said, oh, how I love my wife. Oh, how I love my children. Oh, how I love the throne upon which I sit. Oh, how I love my wealth. Oh, how I love my country. Oh, how I love my fellow countrymen. There were many things that he could have said that he loved. And there would have been nothing wrong with saying those things. But no, right at the top of the list was the Word of God. The law of God. That was the thing that he loved more than anything else. It's sad today, you see, that people love other things more than the Word of God. And I'm not going to start to mention the things that people love more than the Bible. But it is a reality that people have taken the Word of God off the number one position, off the top of the list, and it's been replaced and it's been moved down the list and other things have been put above it. Other things are more important. Other things are loved to a greater extent. I wonder, friend, today, do you love the Word of God more than anything? Or can you think of things in your life that you love more than the Bible? Things that are more important to you than the Bible. We see here the passion of David's love for the Word of God. Oh, how love I thy law. And then we see the proof of his love for the Word of God. The proof. Because you'll notice that he uses that word meditation. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That word meditation is mentioned again in verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. David meditated upon the Word of God. Do you know what meditation means? Well, have you ever seen cattle or goats or sheep in the field? And whenever they eat the grass from off the field, they swallow the grass, but then they bring it back up, they regurgitate it again, and they start to chew on it a second time. The first time they chew on the grass and it goes down into the stomach, it hasn't been digested properly, and the animal needs to regurgitate it again, and then it chews on it again. That's what it means to chew the cud. The cud is that food, that grass that has been regurgitated. And the animal, you can see the animal chewing. It's meditating. And you see, David is saying that that's the way it is with the Word of God. That's what he does with the Bible. He's not just content to read a wee bit and just swallow it down and just leave it at that. No, he wants to spend more time upon it. He wants to meditate upon it. He wants to chew over it, as it were. He wants to dwell upon it. He wants to consider it. He wants to ponder it. And that's exactly what he does. Do you remember that it tells us in the New Testament about Mary, the earthly mother of our Lord? It tells us that she pondered these things in her heart. Whenever the angels appeared, and whenever the angel came to Mary and Joseph, and whenever the shepherds came to them and the wise men, Mary pondered all this in her heart. Mary pondered the fulfillment of Old Testament scriptures, the fulfillment that had taken place whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Mary meditated. She chewed the cud. Yes, this was the proof that David loved the Word of God. You see, it's hypocritical to say that we love the Bible if we only spend a very short time each day studying it. But I tell you, friends, the proof that we really love the Bible is in the fact that we spend time in it, that we spend time studying it, that we meditate upon it, that we chew it over, as it were. And whenever we come to the Sabbath day services and we hear the word of the Lord, we ponder over it and we consider it. And when we read the word of God in our own homes, at the family altar with our wives and our little ones, then we ponder over it and we chew over it throughout the day. Now, I'm not saying that we have to neglect our daily responsibilities. Not at all. That's not the will of God at all. I remember hearing the story of a Christian who worked in a particular place. And he was allocated 15 minutes for his morning break. But instead of taking the 15 minutes, he actually took half an hour every morning. And do you know what he would do for the extra 15 minutes? He would read the Bible, read the Word of God in his workplace. Shame upon him. He neglected his daily responsibility. Oh yes, he thought it was commendable to be reading the Word of God during his break time, but it was actually a bad witness, because he should have been doing the work that he was being paid to do. The Bible does not say in Psalm 119 that we are to meditate on the Word of God to the neglect of our daily duties. No, what the Bible means is that as we do our daily duties, we're thinking about the Scriptures. And as we go about our daily business, the Holy Spirit will bring to our minds the Word of God. And then we can meditate upon it. But at no point do we neglect our daily duties. David was a busy man. David was a man who had many responsibilities as the great king of Israel. David couldn't neglect those responsibilities. He dare not neglect those responsibilities. But as he performed his daily duties, the Spirit of God reminded him of the Word of God that he had read and that he had heard, and he meditated upon it. Because he loved it. So here we have, first of all, in this portion, the how. The great love that David had for the Holy Scriptures. Notice with me not only the how in this portion, but notice the honey. This portion refers to the honey. Verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Honey, of course, is about as sweet a substance as you can eat. It's hard to find anything sweeter than honey. And back in Bible times, honey would have been widely available. The people would have often eaten honey. Honey was the staple diet of people in Bible times. Perhaps today we don't eat very much honey, but in bygone days honey was eaten more frequently. Of course, we read in the early pages of the Old Testament that the land of Israel was a land that flowed with milk and honey. We read of Samson, how that he took honey out of the lion's carcass. And we read then in the New Testament about how John the Baptist ate locusts and wild honey. We read of how the risen Lord Jesus Christ came to the disciples, and it tells us that he ate honey and a piece of a broiled fish. Honey is mentioned throughout the pages of Scripture. But you see, the psalmist is not saying here that the Word of God is the same as honey. He's saying that the Word of God is better than honey. He's saying that the Word of God is sweeter than honey. The psalmist does not say that the Bible is equally as sweet as honey. But he says that it is actually more sweet than honey. Now, the psalmist isn't speaking here about taking the Word of God and actually physically eating the Bible. He's not speaking about that. But he's speaking about the soul. And you know, it is possible for your soul to eat and to drink. And that's an amazing thought. But it's true. You see, the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 6, "Except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, ye have no life in you." What did he mean? Well, he wasn't speaking about cannibalism. Nor was he speaking about the sacrifice of the Mass in Roman Catholic churches that is such a blasphemy and a dangerous deceit. No, he was speaking about the soul. He was saying that unless our souls feed upon him, unless our souls drink his blood, as it were, spiritually speaking, unless we do that, we will have no spiritual life. We will be like corpses. So it is possible for the soul to eat and to drink. And David is reinforcing that teaching here. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know, friends, it's only the Holy Spirit of God that can create this relish for the Word of God. It's only the Spirit of God that can give us this hunger for the sacred Scriptures. And you know, whenever he gives us that hunger, whenever he gives us that relish, the Word of God becomes sweeter than honey. There's a lovely custom that used to take place in Jewish homes. I don't know whether it still takes place, but it goes like this. The grandfather would take his little grandson, and he would take the Bible, and he would put a drop of honey on the pages of the Bible. And then he would take one of the fingers of the little grandson, and he would dip the finger in the honey that was on the page. He would lift the little lad's finger and put it to his little mouth. The little lad could taste the Scripture, could taste the honey. Of course, little children, they love anything sweet. R2 would eat sweet things all day and all night if you let them. The little ones love sweet things. And whenever, of course, that little lad in the Jewish home would taste the honey, oh, the sweetness. Granddad, I want more of that. But you see, the lesson that the old grandfather was trying to teach him was that the book upon which the honey is placed, that's the sweet thing. Oh, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, little one, that's what's sweeter than honey. And oh, that you would get a taste for the Word of God. That's a beautiful custom. It'll be good if we did that too, wouldn't it? Oh, that we could get our children to recognize the incredible sweetness of this book. It's strange, you know, that for many people this book is a bitter book. You see, for many people all they see is the judgments and the punishments and the anger and the wrath of God and the bloodshed and all the rest of it. That's all they see. Oh, that they would see the sweetness of salvation, the sweetness of redemption. Oh, that they would see the sweetness of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, that they would see the sweetness of sins forgiven through the precious blood of the Lamb. Are these not sweet things? There's no message like it. Yes, this book is sweeter than honey. The psalmist uses that little word, how. And then he takes us on to the honey. But then finally he speaks of hatred. He uses the word hate. You notice at the end of the portion, verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I hate every false way. Dear friends, in the world in which we live, there are many false ways of salvation. The Bible tells us that there is only one way, the true way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way. And that's still the message that we proclaim today. The Lord Jesus spoke those words 2,000 years ago. But the message hasn't changed. The Church of Christ has no other message. We today must still proclaim that there is only one way of salvation. There's only one way to be forgiven. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to heaven. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. And David knew that salvation could only be found in the one who would come centuries later, centuries after he penned these words in Psalm 119. David knew that the son of David, David's greater son, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation would only be found in him. He is the way. He's not our way, he is the way. Do you know in our world today, we are told that all roads lead to God. We are told that all religions lead to God. We are told today that Roman Catholicism can save. We are told today that Islam can save. We are told today that Hinduism can save, Mormonism, the Jehovah's Witnesses, Buddhism, the Baha'i Faith, the list goes on. And of course, the whole drive today in our Western culture is for interfaith. We have got an interfaith movement in our community. Interfaith Northwest, it's called. And I want to tell you, friends, today, it is from the pit of hell. It's presenting false ways. And David said, I hate every false way. He didn't just say, I disagree with every false way. No, he said, I hate every false way. Friends, we need to be like David. In 2011, it is still our duty to hate every false way. Wherever we see a false way of salvation being presented, we need to go out against it with all guns blazing. Oh, David loved the way of salvation. He had tasted the sweetness of God's salvation, and he knew that only through Christ, only through the Messiah, only through the Redeemer could he ever be in God's heaven. Dear friend, it's the same for you today. There's only one way for you to be forgiven. Can I ask you as we finish the meeting, have you been forgiven? Have you come God's appointed way? Well, it doesn't matter what man tells you. It doesn't matter about what the Muslims or the Roman Catholics or the priests or the Mormons. It doesn't matter what their leaders say. They're only men. What does God say? What does the Lord say? He says, I am the way.